Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. As I promised last week, on this week's program, I'd like to discuss the latest news on the election crisis. I haven't addressed any evidence of voter fraud directly for almost 2 months because there are so many other important events to cover. Censorship, the impeachment trial, Joe Biden's executive orders, QAnon, the January 6th protest. But the contesting of the election is not over yet, and it probably won't be over for years. I mean, even with the Democrats and their friends in the media doing everything they can to suppress the news about election fraud cases. Sidney Powell, one of the main lawyers pursuing election fraud, said this week, regardless of what the Supreme Court decides now or next week, from the pre-January 6th cases we filed, we're not done. Never mistake my quiet for inaction. And what she was referring to is that this week the Supreme Court is going to consider whether it will hear contested election cases from Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Georgia. And these cases are not about fake ballots and voter machine fraud, but cases in which election boards change election requirements without a vote from the state legislators. In these state constitutions, only the legislators have the authority to change election law. But Democrat election boards and officials bypassed these legal requirements and change election requirements to allow for more mail-in ballots. Did they bend the law because of COVID and social distancing? Well, that's what they say when questioned. But you probably all heard about the Times article that came out about 2 weeks ago by Molly Ball, The Secret History of the Shadow Campaign that Saved the 2020 Election. And in this article, she explains that the mail-in ballots and the manipulation of the election laws was the Democrat plan to win the election. Quote from the article, a well-funded cabal of powerful people, ranging across industries and ideologies, working together behind the scenes to influence perceptions, change rules and laws, steer media coverage, and control the flow of information. They were not rigging the election, they were fortifying it. She's admitting that the plan on the part of the Democrats was to manipulate the election. So there are many lawsuits against these election officials breaking state law, and now the Supreme Court has to decide whether it will hear these cases. The Supreme Court refused to hear the case brought against Pennsylvania by Texas and a number of other states, claiming that Texas didn't have standing to sue Pennsylvania for breaking Pennsylvania election law. But now people within these states themselves who have standing are prosecuting their state. So what do you think the Supreme Court's going to do? Well, you can be sure the liberal justices will refuse to hear the case. The conservative justices will want to hear the case, and Roberts will be the swing vote. Anyway, I bring this up to demonstrate that the contesting of this election is not over with. And along with this, there are many cases pending that are demanding audits from ballots and voting machines. Now, one of the biggest lies that's being circulated and promoted by the media is that the courts have heard these cases of election fraud and they found them to be false. Even in the impeachment trial of President Trump a couple weeks ago, that statement was again made by the Democrats that the courts have ruled that there is no election fraud. And the reason they were saying this is because the entire case being made by the Democrats stands upon the claim that there was no election fraud. The election fraud had been disproven. So therefore, for the president to ask the people to protest election fraud was the president promoting a lie and promoting violence for his own political career. The Democrats have to believe there is no election fraud. Otherwise, their whole case crumbles and the legitimacy of their administration crumbles. And so by claiming it has been proven that there is no election fraud, they can paint President Trump and Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley as Nazi propagandists, like Joseph Goebbels, You know, the political game being played here is beyond belief. All of the Democratic politicians and leftist media were emphatically saying Cruz is recycling the lie of election fraud. And if the media continues to say this, people start to believe it. But here's what has really happened in regard to the courts. There are 80 court cases to date based on the 2020 election. 20 of these cases have been decided on merits. On the 21 cases decided on merits, President Trump won 14 of them, two-thirds of the cases, and 25 cases remain active. Now, here's where it gets complicated. And when anything gets complicated, the public loses interest. These cases that were technically lost or never heard were not about the details of election fraud, but on who has standing, should there be recounts or audits, do election boards have the right to change procedure, were ballot observers denied access, but not a single court has tried a case involving actual election fraud in regard to ballot cheating. And a very strange thing has also happened in this regard. The courts are saying that if there is fraud, this is the job of the legislators to address. And the legislators are saying, if this is fraud, this is the job of the courts. So no one's doing anything. The great legal minds in our day don't know what to do with these cases of election fraud. I mean, even if the courts do find evidence of fraud, what are they going to do? What's going to be the remedy? They can't tell or have never told a state that it has to conduct its election all over again. And if there's fraud, you know, it's very hard for the court to just make up a number of fraudulent votes and overturn the election. The courts don't want to touch this. So they simply claim this is a separation of powers. This is the job of the legislators. But the legislators and the governors and election board officials who are Democrats aren't going to do anything about correcting election fraud because they won the election. John Lott Jr. has an interesting piece in Town Hall explaining the dilemma. Quote, courts have frequently rejected Republican challenges to the 2020 presidential vote because they want evidence that a case involves enough fraud to alter the vote's outcome in a particular state. Republicans argue that since their observers couldn't watch the vote count, they cannot provide that evidence and have asked for discovery, court permission to find evidence, to do what the FBI and the Justice Department should be doing. But still, while the courts have agreed that irregularities have occurred, they weren't willing to grant discovery unless Republicans first presented enough evidence of fraud to overturn the election. So Republicans kind of face a catch-22 situation, unquote. So this is just one of the ways the courts are avoiding these cases. Now, I simply want to explain what's happening in the courts, because as I share evidence of voter fraud, some listeners might think, well, these sources I refer to can't be reliable. Otherwise, the courts and the legislators and the FBI and the Justice Department would have done something about this. But if you think like that, you're putting too much faith in the wisdom and the justice and the power of men. Now, and in many times in the past, the system has failed us. Justice has not prevailed. What do you think the prophet Isaiah was referring to in his day in Isaiah 59, verse 4? No one sues righteously and no one pleads honestly. They trust in confusion and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Verse 14, justice is turned back and righteousness stands far away. For truth has stumbled in the streets and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking, and he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey. And it was displeased in his sight that there was no justice. What was frustrating this prophet of God? Well, the same thing that frustrates us today, politicians and judges neglecting the law of God. Psalm 119:53, burning indignation has seized me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Psalm 119:136, my eyes shed streams of water because they do not keep your law. A naive trust in the system is part of the problem here, in this denial of election fraud. If good people don't speak up, the system usually does nothing. Remember Jesus' parable of the unjust judge? Jesus described that judge because he was just so typical of judges in every age. Luke chapter 18. For while he, the judge, was unwilling, but afterwards he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. You know, the courts do nothing unless the people in the media start complaining. As it is, they're just willing to go along with the status quo. But you know, let's just get to the point in all this. I mean, this is a Bible program. Why am I even discussing the politics of election fraud? Well, because this whole event illustrates for us the sin of mankind. And the law is to bring the knowledge of sin. And God uses the knowledge of sin to lead us to Christ. 1 Corinthians 10, these things happen to them as an example, and they are written for our instruction upon whom the ends of the age have come. All events are planned by God for our spiritual instruction. Now, when I started putting together this program, the spiritual lesson I was planning to bring out was the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. And what is all involved in the eighth commandment? How we don't have the right to take what does not belong to us, whether money or honor or praise or positions or even votes. When it comes to unlawfully taking something which might benefit you, people look the other way. Psalm chapter 50, verse 18, when you see a thief, you're pleased with him, and you associate with adulterers. And Hosea chapter 4, there is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence, so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes. When Israel became apostate, thievery was everywhere. And so also today, might makes right, and if it helps what you think is a good cause and you can get away with it, stealing becomes the right thing to do. In fact, Dennis Prager had a great article recently explaining that the Democratic Party had created the motives to steal this election. After depicting President Trump as Adolf Hitler, who wouldn't bend the rules to keep Hitler from getting back into power? So anyway, in these current events concerning election fraud, we're learning much about the corruption in men's hearts. But I think there's a bigger lesson that should be learned in what's happening in regard to when a nation loses its Christian consensus and becomes corrupt. When the checks and balances against evil that our founding fathers wrote into the Constitution begin to fail. When the courts and the legislators and the executive branch and the police and the FBI all become corrupt. Even the media, the free press, is no longer a check on the corruption. When the media becomes an arm of a political party and an ideology. That's Isaiah chapter 56, verse 10. His watchmen are blind. All of them know nothing. All of them are mute dogs unable to bark. So before judgment fell upon ancient Israel and her collapse, Jeremiah wrote that every institution was compromised and failed. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13, for from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for gain, and from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. And Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 10, from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone practices deceit. And I'm sure that was very discouraging for Jeremiah. But he recognized the problem. All institutions failed. If we remember what was written in the Federalist Papers about the importance of checks and balances to maintain the Union, Jeremiah's words become all the more significant. Society can come to a place where it reaches a critical mass of corrupt people, even indifferent people who are more concerned about keeping their jobs than the truth. And when this happens, the country is destroyed. And yes, there will be millions of people who voice their opposition. But once people who hold to an evil humanistic ideology get 51% in a democracy, and they control the major institutions, the businesses, and the press, evil takes over. It happened in China, it happened in Russia, it happened in France, it happened in Venezuela, in Cuba. And prophetically, we knew it was going to happen here too. But maybe we never expected it would happen by election fraud. I mean, me personally, I always assumed that once evil got to 51%, they could vote in whatever they wanted. They could turn America into Sodom and Gomorrah, which is pretty much what they've done already. I really didn't think they needed to cheat to win. But really, it shouldn't be a surprise that history may record that the Antichrist cheated and lied to get into power. Now, this is kind of alluded to in Daniel chapter 11, verse 21. In his place, a despicable person will arise on whom the honor of kingship has not been conferred. But he will come about in a time of tranquility and seize the kingdom by intrigue, by cheating. So we shouldn't be surprised when evil gets into power, we discover it gets there by lying and cheating. Another spiritual lesson in all of this news is the amazing fulfillment of prophecy, that at the end of this age, there will be a rise of lawlessness. I've been saying this for some time, that what we've been seeing over the last 50 years is the world readying itself to embrace the Antichrist agenda, as prophesied in the book of the Revelation. We knew it was coming, but when it happens, it's still alarming. Every generation that experiences disaster, in the days leading up to that disaster, had no idea what was about to come upon them. But for us, what did Jesus say? When you see these things take place, lift up your eyes, for your redemption is drawing near. Well, that's the spiritual point in all this. Now let's get back to the case of election fraud. There are really two stories going on here. The election fraud itself and the cover-up. All of these election boards, Democrat governors, Democrat state attorneys are refusing to allow investigations, recounts, audits. A whole program could be dedicated to just the cover-up. Georgia did a sample signature audit of ballots in Cobb County, but they refused to do a signature audit or any other audit in Fulton County, the county audit requested by the Trump team. Why? In Arizona, the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, Democrats, refused to reveal records or allow an independent audit of the machines being requested by the Republican state senators. In Michigan, there has been a forensic voting machine audit of one county, Antrim, and it found all sorts of corruption and tainted results, but the Democratic governor and the state's Secretary of State refused to allow an independent audit of the other counties. Now, recently they've said they've conducted their own internal audit and everything's just fine. The same obstruction has happened in Georgia and Pennsylvania. It's just like they're being told by higher-ups in the Democratic Party to delay and obfuscate as much as possible. And this obstruction is so obvious. It really does point to some degree of guilt. They wouldn't be doing this unless they had something to hide. And yes, they want to defend their candidate no matter what. But if they did cheat, this is a federal crime. And someone's going to jail. So it's no surprise that they will do everything in their power to cover up election fraud. They are going to lie. They're going to destroy evidence. They will refuse audits. So evidence of fraud is going to be very hard to find unless there's some sort of FBI shakedown. But as I mentioned earlier, the FBI isn't touching this case. Now, the other story is election fraud itself. In Georgia, the 100,000 or so confirmed ballots or votes in Georgia that were found to be invalid due to illegals voting, out-of-state people voting, dead people voting, underage people voting. The Voter Integrity Project has the actual names and addresses of these invalid ballots. So since Trump lost the state by only 11,000 votes, if those ballots were removed, Trump wins. So President Trump called the Georgia Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, to point this out to him, But Raffensperger refused to do anything. And then he went to the Washington Post claiming that Trump was illegally pressuring him to find votes. Raffensperger just didn't want President Trump to win. Remove the fraudulent ballots in Georgia, and it's a fact that Trump wins Georgia. Biden won Arizona by about 13,000 votes, and the Voter Integrity Project has a similar list of invalid votes in Arizona. So if the fraudulent ballots are removed in Arizona, it's a fact that Trump won Arizona. And the same thing is true for Michigan and Wisconsin. The number of documented illegal ballots exceeds Biden's win. But the other aspect of cheating is in the voting machines themselves. Where there were these huge spikes in votes for Biden during the morning hours of election night, this was either by manipulating the computers and their results, or crates of fake ballots showing up and being scanned. Now, of course, this is very hard to prove, because again, those involved are going to do everything in their power to cover up the evidence. So all of the lawyers and investigators only have these statistical anomalies, odd percentages, and spikes in Biden's totals in the middle of the night. And the other side simply says, oh, well, we just had a lot of votes for Biden come in all at once. How can you prove otherwise? Well, in closing, you know what convinces me the most that there was election fraud? That little case in Antrim County, Michigan, where the machines switched 7,000 votes from Trump to Biden. And that is a known fact. The reason it was discovered is because Antrim County is heavily Republican, and it always goes Republican. If there was cheating, the cheaters made a fatal mistake by manipulating the vote in Antrim County. Now, at first, we all heard on the news that this was just a tabulation error of flipping 7,000 votes. And I believe that. But we've come to discover that it wasn't that at all. Each precinct in that county had the exact same percentages of about 300 votes flipped in various columns. The machine itself was able to flip an exact weighted percentage of votes. This was not human error due to the mistyping into one cell. This was multiple changes that added up to 7,000 votes. And this had to be programmed into the machine. This is not a mistake of a data entry person making one wrong entry. This is someone who took out a calculator and changed votes according to percentages. And if they could do it in that one county, they can do it also in the other 48 counties in Michigan. But the Democrat state secretary of state wouldn't allow for an audit. Now, this cheating discovered in Antrim County invalidates trust in the entire election across the United States. So in closing, what do we do with this information? Well, for those who are called to be political activists and lawyers, they have their work cut out for them. But for the rest of us, it's just a reminder that the world system is corrupt and it's becoming more corrupt, and that what we need is a savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his promised kingdom of righteousness. So thank you for taking the time to listen today. The radio website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. And from there, you can link to the YouTube channel and the video version of this program. Keep in the word, keep encouraging the saints, and continue in the work of the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, these world events certainly give us a knowledge of sin, the world's sin, and our own sin. But of course, by the law, no flesh will be justified. Thank you for the righteousness that can be imputed to us through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.